Are we on the air?
Now we are. So I've had you focus on auditory thinking, noting talk. Did some people sometimes have an experience that the talk would stop when you were there and it was relatively quiet? How many people occasionally have that? So that's a pleasant, restful state. We'll call the absence of talk quiet. We'll just arbitrarily use that word. When you focused on feel, sometimes you probably had feel, but other times the feel might have gone away and there was just an absence of emotion in your body. How many of you have one or more places where feel tends to be strong if it occurs? We'll call those your emotional centers. Some of the common emotional centers are here, where people get teary sensations, okay? The jaw, where people can get anger, there can be quivering of your lips with fear. There can be the proverbial lump in your throat. There can be an ache in your heart, but of course there can also be the love in your heart, the rosiness in your chest, the butterflies in your stomach. You'll notice that many of the emotional centers are along a central line in front. However, when you have fear, you could have shakiness in your legs. When you have shame, you could have something on your face. There's an expression to lose face. You ever heard that expression? I don't know if that's been translated into Hebrew, but to lose face means to be ashamed. And it's not from English originally, it's a Chinese expression that was translated into English and now everybody uses. But what it means is when you're embarrassed, you don't want to look at a person directly because it causes uncomfortable feel here. So you look down, you're embarrassed, you lose face. That's what the Chinese say. Or when you have fear, it might go up your spine, okay? Et cetera, et cetera. So these are some of the locations and flavors of feel. So if you happen to have one or several emotional centers and you bring your attention there, it's possible that there could be feel. Now you know what to do. But it's also possible that you're aware everything is emotionally peaceful there. There's no emotional sensations. So that's a restful state that we can, let's arbitrarily assign the name peace to that. These are arbitrary designations. That's what we're calling it in English. Quiet, peace. Now, you'll remember that we've been working with mental pictures, and I said that mental pictures or images can appear in many possible locations, but that the ones associated with memory, planning, and fantasizing often appear in front of or behind your closed eyes, either on a mental screen or a sort of mental stage. Now, if you focus in that area, which if you'll remember I said we'll call that the center of image space. If you close your eyes and focus your attention in the center of image space, one thing that you could be aware of course, image activity. Another thing that can occur there is colors. You can get pinks and purples and what have you. If you were to ignore image activity, just sort of look around the images or through them. And if you were to ignore color, but just be interested in how dark or bright the color is, What you would be left with in the center of image space when you close your eyes is either pure darkness, because after all your eyes are closed, or pure brightness, because after all some light still gets through, or most likely some mixture of dark, bright, and gray. Okay? I will repeat. If you place your attention in the center of image space and you are not focusing on the images and not interested in color, what are you left with? General level of illumination, darkness, brightness, grayness, or some marbled mixture of those qualities. We'll call the dark, bright, or gray, or mixture of those that you experience in the center of image space when you close your eyes, we'll call that experience blank, and we'll say that it represents a blank mental screen. And most people find focusing on that blank to be a very pleasant, restful experience. So that then gives us some possible restful experiences. We can have quiet as well as talk. We can have peace as well as feel. And even if we have images, we could look behind the images to a sense of blankness that could be restful. So we'll define the restful state of quiet to be the absence of talk in talk space. We'll define peace to mean the absence of emotional sensation in feel space. And we'll define blank to be the darkness and or brightness in front of and or behind your closed eyes. Very precise language. Don't worry, that's only the second time. I will say it four more times. Yes, yes. May I answer the first question first? Actually, you just named it. Mm-hmm. You named it with the most precise possible name for it. Something. That is a valid category of feel in my system. Oh, yes. Sometimes I have feel, but it doesn't correspond to any category. I can't call it anger, fear, sadness, joy, interest, love. It's just an emotional something, and I have no name for it. To which I said, you just named it. Call it something. When I first created the category feel, I began to work on the question of how to classify feel. And it took me 15 years of experimentation with students to come to a classification system that always works for everyone. Now I'm not asking you necessarily to classify your feel, but if you wish to, I can tell you that there are a few simple, well-defined qualities that are pretty universal. Anger, fear, and sadness are the big three. they pretty much run the world at some level or another. Okay, in the intense forms, they're called rage, terror, and grief. But in the mild forms, they're called irritated, okay, nervous, and boy, poor me, okay. So, anger, fear, sadness are the big three. A close fourth is embarrassment, shame, humiliation. Then there is impatience, agitation. That one's really important in daily life. In daily life, there might not be anger, fear, sadness so prominent. There might not be rage, terror, grief. But in daily life, as you're trying to drive from this place to that place, as you're trying to get your kids ready for school, as you're trying to figure out where you're going to go for dinner, okay, there's a kind of impatience, agitation kind of flavor. Huh?
Where is the place in the body, impatient, comes
bored.
Impatient of, or being bored comes, takes place?
The location of sensation, of feel, is distinctive to each person. There's not a single, certain things tend to happen in certain places, but the, individuals will be different. Most people, well, let's find out. Impatience, when you can't sit still, okay? Antsiness. Hurriedness in daily life. So tell me some of the places where you experience that. Show, point, okay? Now watch where people point, okay? Point to different, everyone, if you know what I'm talking about, point. And by the way, whole body is a place, okay? That's a place. So go ahead, show me where impatience is for you. Okay. Okay. So you see different locations. Let's find out where it is for you.
Where does shyness?
Shy would be a mild form of embarrassment, shame. So there's some, yes.
What about the mixture?
Well, give me time. Don't be impatient. Now I made embarrassment. Okay. But now we're laughing because it's amusing. So that's interest and joy. Those are all feel, okay? So, on the pleasant side, interest, joy, love, gratitude, humor, smile, etc. So you might have one well-defined quality that's present. You might have more than one well-defined quality. You could have interest and fear. Even contradictory qualities, anger and fear, that's a common combo, okay? Fear and sadness. Anger, fear, and sadness, okay? All at once. How about this one? Fear, sadness, and interest. Joy. That's the one that tends to create will and desire. You think about something you want, you get a mental picture of it, and you smile at the prospect of having it, that's interest and joy, but then you realize you might not get it, and you get fear, and then you feel sorry for yourself. So you get fear, tear, and cheer are the three R's that run human will. By the way, check it out. Check it out for yourself. When we have desires, there's the pleasant sensation, the pleasant feel, we smile at the prospect of getting the desire. At the prospect of being deprived, we experience fear and tear. Subtle, perhaps. So, I really don't want to go too far afield on this. maybe we'll take it later. In any event, to answer a question way back there, your question, you could have one well-defined quality. You could have more than one well-defined quality, interest and fear, etc. In addition to that, you could have something pleasant. You know it's emotional, you know it's in the body, but you can't say anything more about it than it's pleasant and it's something. Or you could have something unpleasant. You can't say it's anger, fear, sadness, but it's unpleasant and it's emotional and it's in the body and it's something. It's emotional. So that's an unpleasant. You could label one something pleasant. That's a legitimate category. That's precise. It's something pleasant. There's no more resolution possible, but that's fine. Something unpleasant. Let's say you can't even say it's pleasant or unpleasant, but you know it's emotional. Just call it something. That's a name for it. Then you could have a bunch of stuff all tangled together that you can't separate. Call that mixture. That's a valid category. So with this scheme, it is possible to classify by quality, moment by moment, with a great deal of precision, exactly what kinds of feel are present. And of course, if you have no feel, the label is peace. And that covers all logical possibilities. So you already named it. It's called something. Yes. Peace is the word I use, okay? Now, this is important. I'm not telling you what peace means. I'm telling you there is something, and this is the word we're going to use for it. I'm not telling you what feel means. I'm saying there's something. Emotional sensation in the body, and this is the word we're going to use for it. Okay? So you could be aware there's no emotion in your body. The word we're going to use for that is peace. You could be aware there's no talk in your head. The word we're going to use for that is quiet. You could focus on the general level of illumination in front of, behind your eyes, with your eyes closed. Be aware, dark, bright, or both. The word we're going to use for that is blank. Okay? So, this gives you, yes?
How do I know whether I experience peace or it does not exist enough to experience my emotions?
Okay. I'll repeat it. It is absolutely predictable that this question would come up. It always comes up. In fact, it's already come up. I don't want to embarrass you, but it's already come up. But it comes up again and again and again because it takes a long time to get to know ourselves and to understand the basic axioms of mindfulness practice. So the question is, what's the difference between peace and feel is there, but I'm just not sensitive enough to detect it? And the answer to that question is no difference whatsoever from the viewpoint of mindfulness practice. Mindfulness practice is not about what's supposed to be there. It's about what you detect in the moment as experience. We're defining peace, we're saying if you are not aware of an emotional sensation, if you detect no emotional sensation, our label for that is peace. You may be convinced that there's all kinds of feel underneath that. Well, that's fine, but it's not available to sensory experience, so don't worry about it. Call it peace. Did that sufficiently answer your question?
The other way around.
There's always some subtle activity there for you. Is that correct? Yes. In other words, you're aware that actually there's never really peace. There's always an undercurrent of something in field space. Then I would say that that's a good insight. And your job is to completely accept that fact. Yes. That's a report, and that's a very good report, that shows insight. You're seeing relationships. Is there also a question, like, what should I do about this, or is it just a report? Just a report. Excellent. Remember I said that in science, the first job is to clarify the what. I've given you four what's so far. Touch, feel, image, talk. Actually, I've given you seven, because I've now given you peace, blank, and quiet, three restful states. So the first job is to find the what. Then you find the where, okay, where they are. But then you want to see how they interact, what causes what. So now you're noticing, the report was, as soon as I notice a touch, it triggers a mental picture, and it triggers an emotional feel. That's good. You're seeing how the elements interact with each other to weave the impression of I am my body and I am my mind. So that's a very good insight. You're seeing the relationships. Let's say that you were focusing on, let's not go there. That'll take us away. I'll take your questions in a while. Is everybody clear about the three restful states I just mentioned? Of those three, the blank is available anytime you want. By definition, when you close your eyes, it either gets dark or there's bright because light is still coming through, or there's some mixture. If you don't have any images and you don't have any color, then that's all that's there. If you have images and ignore them, that you can go to the background, dark or bright. If you have color and you're interested in how dark or bright the color is, then that contributes to the dark or bright. So it is, I'll take it in a second, it is feasible, that it means possible, if you desired, to just focus on that pleasant darkness, brightness, grayness, and so forth. With regards to quiet, some people can create it, but in most cases, you just have to wait. Maybe it happens, maybe it never happens. That's okay. If you go through a period of time where the talk stops, if you wanted, you could just stay with the quiet for a while, noting it. Now, did you hear what I said? Probably. But did you hear what I didn't say? Maybe. Let me explain what I mean. What I didn't say is that ever in your meditation career, for even a second, do you need to experience quiet. I did not say that. Okay? So please don't come to me and say I never experience quiet. I'll just say, yeah, of course, you don't. So what? You experience talk. Don't come to me and say I never experience peace, because I'll say, so what? Don't come to me and say I never experience feel. I'll say, so what? Don't come to me and say I never experience image. I'll say, great, you got blank. Okay? Don't come to me and say, I can't focus on blank because there's always images. Because I'll say two things. First of all, you don't have to focus on blank. Secondly, even if there are images, you can ignore them and focus on the blank. That's the way I set it up for you. That means one of those restful states, one of those three is available all the time. Two of them may or may not ever be available. Which is the one that's available all the time as I have defined it? Blank. Which are the two that may or may not ever be available to you? Peace and quiet. So it is feasible to focus on a pleasant, restful experience, the blank. Why would you want to do that? A lot of reasons that will take me at least an hour to elucidate. But let me just, and I'm not going to, but let me just say this. If you are familiar with traditional Buddhist categories, then you may have heard the words nimitta and kasina. These are jhanic factors. These are absorption factors that are used to enter very deep states. The darkness and brightness in image space is the basis of the many of the nimittas and the and kasinas. So it's related to that. It's also related to the experiences of bright light and clear light that are reported all around the world. It's related to the divine darkness that's reported all over the world. There's a lot about it that we're not going to talk about, but just let me tell you this. We know physiologically that when you focus on the blank, it creates alpha waves. And alpha waves, a kind of brain wave. And that alpha is associated with restful alertness. So that's why I give you that as a possible restful state. So I'm going to use the word rest as a general term for things like peace, blank, and quiet. Rest will be the general term. So human is the general term. Male and female are specific kinds of human. Rest in this system is a general term. Peace, blank, quiet are specific flavors of rest. Are there other ones? Yes, but we're not going to burden you with too much. Yes. I can do that. What we're going to have to do is, this is all on the websites that we asked you to look at before you came to this retreat. But we can print it off. The problem is when we print it off, it's going to have the whole system. So just look at the parts that are relevant, because you will definitely drive yourself crazy if you try to internalize the whole system. I think we should just print it off, so it's nice. I'm going to do that too for some of it. But they want the restful states also. We could write that out perhaps. That would make it easy. Yes?
How is the ignoring the images different from eliminating them? Like?
Okay, very good. Yes, ignoring means that you look around them.
So I'm focusing not on the center of the image.
No, you're choosing to look around the image to the background blank. Okay.
Behind.
That's right. Out of which the images come and to which the images return. So you know, for example, if my hand is here. Okay, so you could look at my hand, but you could choose to look at this color instead that's behind.
I think it would be very tempting just to create the blank. You know what I mean? Because I know I can very easily create it, not see anything, but it requires some activation of not creating image.
You mean create blank by turning off images?
Yes.
If you can do that, fine. Most people can't. If that works for you, you can do that option.
one is when I have something that bothers me, feeling visually, I visualize something that I know that brings me quiet or blank, all this feeling of quietness. Is it okay? I visualize something, it gives me peace.
You are, let me repeat. So you are, when I have something that bothers me, I intentionally create a mental image that is positive. I focus on that positive mental image and I ignore the negative.
Same one.
Yeah.
Same picture. Same image.
Yeah, I have a certain image that I can create. The question was, is that okay? The answer is, it depends. So then the question is, depends on what? Now you answer the question.
What kind of practice?
What technique you're deciding to use? What you're describing is the approach that I personally call focus on positive. So far, I have taught you to note, feel, image, and talk as they occur spontaneously. Correct? I've not asked you to create, feel, or image, or talk. I've asked you to just observe. That is a certain approach to practice. A contrasting approach, equally valid, equally powerful and taught equally by me, but later, is to intentionally create positive image, positive feel, positive talk, and selectively attend to that. That's a whole other way of working. The whole idea is contrast. You learn by just observing, you learn by intentionally creating. So, that's why I said, when you say, is it okay to make a positive image? It's not only okay, it's what you're going to do if you're doing the approach called control, feel, image, and talk, and make it go in a positive direction. Which covers things like loving kindness, but it also covers things like deity yoga, and it also covers things like think and grow rich. Okay, positive thinking is going to, the secret, the laws of attraction. It covers things like that, and it covers rational cognitive therapy, where you replace irrational talk with rational talk. The focus on positive approach, you're controlling feel, image, talk, creating good content, and holding that. That is a completely valid way to work, and is one of my standard techniques. We'll get to that. Maybe. But in order to do that, we're going to have to stop asking all these questions, because, although they're great questions. So, if you're doing just observe, you don't do that. You just observe what is. If you're doing focus on positive, you do that.
I do it when the feel is very, I feel that it's enough.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
You want to, in other words, you want to turn away.
Yeah.
That's a valid strategy. However, I think it's very useful to be willing and able to turn towards, and it's also very useful to be willing and able to turn away. Those are contrasting strategies, and you just know which one you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're willing and able to do both, then something's bound to work eventually. People are often not willing to turn towards, because they say, if I turn towards it, it just makes it worse. People are often unwilling to turn away. They say, if I turn away from it, it's denial and suppression. Well, there's something wrong with this picture now, isn't there? I don't want to pay attention to it, because that's going to make it worse. I don't want to turn my attention away from it, because that's denial and suppression. Well, guess what, folks? There's only two directions. So you've set yourself up for failure, if you think that way. So instead of making it lose-lose, make it win-win. There's a way of learning concentration, clarity, and equanimity by turning towards the challenge. There's a way of learning concentration, clarity, and equanimity by turning away from the challenge. Same skill set, diametrically opposed strategies. That's why I was adamant about it depends. Be very clear which approach you're taking. Either one will work.
Also about I also have most of the time I'm in a space of fear. It's easy for me to it comes up, and my question is here I can focus on it, and there is something that I know that it, although I sense it, it's only a thought. The meaning of it I create. It's not reality, right? The sense exists, but maybe I suffer because the content of the thought is making me sad or irritates me or this. So, and you said, but there is every moment Briya Mechadash, right? So I have to sit all day because every moment I create another experience. But in when I come home and things are not exactly the way I want some things, so and things are irritating me. Go away and sit and see that every moment is the next is a Briya Mechadash, or like in the exercise it's okay, but in daily life I'm afraid.
When you did everyone hear? Not in the back. Let me paraphrase and tell me if I got it accurate. So when I sit here, I'm aware that there's constant feel and also constant interpretation that is multiplying that feel. I can track it while I'm sitting here, but then in daily life I can't do that because there's so much else going on. So what should I do? Did I more or less get it? Okay. So when you learn to drive a car, the very first thing you do is go into an empty area where there aren't other cars, and you practice in that environment. At some point, you internalize a skill, and it's second nature, and you can go out on the highway. And you don't have to think about it. The driving just happens. So if you do enough retreats and formal practice day to day, at some point, it's just there for you in daily life. It carries over. However, you can probably learn how to drive a car after just a few weeks in an empty parking lot. It may take considerably longer to re-engineer your humanity, but that's the name of the game, okay? It may take months, years, even decades to become the person that can see everything coming from and returning to the source while they're moving around in the world, okay? That may take a long time. Sometimes it happens quick. It's on a bell curve. Some people very quick, a lot of people quite a while, some people never. I know, as I say that, you say, well, I'm certainly the one that will never, okay? Every person in this room is saying, I'm the one that will never, okay? But actually, you're not, statistically. But you say, well, it still might take a long time. Yes, to reach that point, where in daily life it's automatically there, might take a while. However, I would say those years will pass anyway.
Sure?
Yes, I'm sure. So, 5 years from now, you will definitely be 5 years older unless you're dead, okay? You may be a 5 year better meditator or not, depending on how you prioritize things. So when I was 25 years old, I made the best decision of my life. I thought, okay, sometimes I'm going to be happy, sometimes I'm not going to be happy. Sometimes I'm going to be in the circumstances I like, sometimes I'm going to be in other circumstances. Sometimes I'm going to like who I am, sometimes I'm not going to like who I am. No matter what, every single day I'm going to do meditation. No matter what, every single day. So I made that decision at 25 and I stuck to it, and I'm now 65. That's the best decision I ever made. And sure enough, sometimes I was happy and sometimes I was miserable. Physically, emotionally, still meditating. Sometimes I was happy with myself, who I am, how I'm behaving. Other times I was behaving very badly. You don't even want to know how badly, okay? Believe me. I still meditated, okay? Even when I was behaving very badly, I still did it. Just did it every day, no matter what. Guess what? Now it's 40 years. Those years would have passed anyway. If I hadn't made that decision, I would be maintained on psychotropics. I would be drug addicted and sick, but probably not even still alive. I would be a mess if I hadn't stuck to that decision. I know for sure. I know who I was and I know where I was headed.
Better than the stock
market. Better than the stock market? I hope it's a lot better than the stock market, actually. Okay, yes.
In regards to that, though, I thought there was a distinction that you make between, let's say, someone is running a marathon and it's physical and improving the stamina, improving the muscle, etc. They're able, after a while, to run 25 kilometers, etc., etc., as time goes by. But with the meditation, there is a clearing that happens no matter what when you sit and you meditate. And that's one of those huge satisfaction I got in the past, that it's not lost. Like with exercising, that if you stop, it all goes to your muscles, everything is, you know, you basically lose your shape, you lose your stamina, etc. Whereas with meditation, you've said in the past, it stays, it clears, so there's a
That's true.
So I thought, because I know I got such a satisfaction and gratitude to hear that, I think that's a good metaphor.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. Yes. Okay. So, let's explore some restful states. Take a moment to lengthen your spine and let your whole body settle, relaxing into your posture. Now, If you have not already done so, close your eyes and bring your attention to the darkness, brightness, grayness, or mixture of those in front of or behind your eyes, or in front and behind. In other words, focus on the blank in the center of image space. If you have color, just be interested in how dark or bright the color is. If you have image, look through it or around it to the blank, or be interested in how dark or bright the image is, so it contributes to the blank. Every few seconds, make the mental label blank. When you get pulled to body, touch, or feel, come back to blank. When you get pulled to external sound or internal talk, come back to the blank. Your eyes are closed, so there's no external sight. And just enjoy resting your attention on that blank screen. We'll start with mental labels. The mental label is blank. It's possible that the blank is perfectly still and stable. In which case, good. Let that stabilize consciousness. Let it take you into a timeless, changeless world. On the other hand, it's possible that the blank is not stable. It's waving, vibrating, rippling. In which case, good. That's flow. Get fascinated with how it's moving. Let it massage you. And also take you into a deep place of rest. So if it's stable, good. It stabilizes you. If it flows, good. It massages you. The it is the darkness and or brightness in front of and or behind your closed eyes, which we will conventionally call blank, because it represents a blank mental screen. Now, it's possible at this time that in talk space there's quite a bit of quiet. Of course, it's also possible that that is not the case. If there's a lot of quiet in talk space, you could go there and note the quiet. Just focus on that restful state. And if talk happens, ignore it. Go back to the quiet. That might be possible. The same thing might be possible in feel space. You might be aware that your emotional centers are resting, peaceful. In which case, you could go to your emotional centers and just abide in the peace. Abide means dwell, stay. And note peace. Of course, it's possible that there's no peace or quiet. There's just talk and feel. In which case, you could, if you wished, go back to the blank. That's a restful state that's always available. Or if you wish, you could note the talk or the feel. Just go back to observing the ordinary activity that you've learned how to do. So if rest is available, peace, blank, or quiet, and you'd like to work with that, go ahead. Or if you'd like to just note, feel, image, talk, touch, like we've been doing, that's okay. We'll be winding up in just a minute. One final point. Sometimes when you focus on a restful state, it could produce pleasant feel. Focusing on the blank, you might find yourself smiling, happy. Of course, if you wanted to, you could then go to that and note it as feel. An attempt to purify consciousness through having a mindful experience of emotional pleasure triggered by a restful state. This is the absorption path described, or this is part of the absorption path described in early Buddhist literature. Okay, good. During this next break period for a couple minutes, decide how you'd like to focus. You can note touch, feel, image, talk, or maybe you'd like to explore one of the restful states, noting quiet or peace if that's available, or blank. Yes, we're coming back in 5.